Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Bhutan dhammam sanghaṃ namassāmi. To talk a little about the quality of respect, which very beautiful thing to respect something or somebody. we can go astray with this. So if we respect someone. We can go too far, perhaps, if we then end up overly trusting that person. So respect is not necessarily trust. We can have respect without fully trusting. This can be an important principle in the Dhamma world, that we can have respect for someone, a teacher or somebody, and yet we respect them for what they do, for their commitment and so on. Yet, we have to be also keep ourselves aware of what's going on. And it's always our duty as Dhamma practitioners to keep an eye on each other. So in the monastic life, then a monk takes dependence on a teacher, and then the teacher will guide that person. But then it's the student's duty also, that if he feels that the teacher is gone astray, then it's his duty to mention it to the teacher. So if our relationship with somebody is one of respect, then we have to be careful that there's mutual respect there, and that there's an ability to listen, to take feedback on both sides. Otherwise it's not a very healthy relationship in Dhamma terms. Also, this kind of respect doesn't necessarily mean offering authority, preferring respect. You can offer somebody respect like an elder, elderly person, offer them the respect just due to them as somebody who's lived longer than we have and may have learnt from that respect and care that they may need. Yeah, we're not necessarily then offering them authority along with that. Respect is not necessarily authority. So Western culture can be a little crude in these respects, and we tend to put respect or see respect and authority going together. It can be very difficult to offer respect because we don't want to give away our authority, personal authority. We don't trust someone enough to give them power over us. And quite rightly, we all have bad days or see things wrongly, whoever we are, get things wrong. The Thai monks of the monastery was describing to me the other day how it changed his life when he realised that a man who he was convinced was an arahant, was a fully enlightened being. He tried to build a dam in Thailand three times. He tried to build it, and three times it was washed away. He got it wrong. He didn't know how to build a dam properly. He was doing his best. Tried to do this thing for the people of that area, to help the people of that area, but three times he tried and three times he got it wrong. So this monk had to admit, okay, well, an arahant doesn't know everything. An arahant can get it wrong. Somebody should have told him how to build a dam properly. Maybe they're too respectful, have too much faith in him to say, look, Ajahn, you don't build a dam like that. That's going to wash away. And see how beautiful a culture can be, or a group of people that can offer respect towards people, the elders of the group, the people who founded it, or people who put the effort in, out of gratitude. They can offer respect to them out of gratitude and respect their offering, their commitment. Listen to them, listen to their point of view with respect, and yet not necessarily follow it. So this can be quite refined in Asian culture, where people will agree with the leader of a group whilst the group is together, so that the leader doesn't lose face through that. But then quietly behind the scenes, they'd be pointed out, maybe pointed out what if something was not quite right. This is very much in line with the Buddha's teaching on admonishment or feedback, is that one should give feedback in the right time and place, often in private, in confidence, and with the heart in the right place, of metta, loving kindness established in the mind, and one should consider the benefits of doing this. Will the person be able to listen? The profitability of that action, do you think it's going to lead to a good result? If not, then one's not bound to offer that feedback. This is something really serious going wrong, serious offences happening. Then there's also in Buddhism a tremendous amount of forgiveness and a sense of starting again. In mindfulness, we can always start again afresh. We can apologise if we've done something we've gone astray, and then we'll confess our faults, and then we make the determination to do better in the future. It's the best we can do, isn't it? If we go wrong, we find the people concerned and apologise to them for that fault. We make it clear that we recognise the fault, and then we determine to do better in the future. We can't do any more than that. Invite these people to help us to keep on the straight and narrow. So we all need this. Even the great masters, in the forests of Thailand, then malaria was common, so even a great master could get malaria and become delirious and lose their mindfulness through malarial fever. So the model of just do what the master tells you just doesn't work. You have to be more discriminating than that. This is a dangerous one, to offer that kind of authority. It's a very dangerous thing to do. Could be a pitfall here in the practice as a whole, that if we associate mindfulness with being a passive observing state, and then we enter into a hierarchical situation where we're doing what other people are telling us to do, and then it can be very comfortable, quite relaxed. Here we are, and we don't have anything too much to think about. We can just watch the mind, watch things rising and ceasing, and we just follow along and do what we're told. And yet that's very dangerous, isn't it? One day somebody might be told to do something very unskillful. Where are we? We can feel like we're waking up out of a dream. I've just lapsed into this kind of dream. Ended up finding a refuge in passivity and obedience. I've fallen asleep. Something goes wrong, and it's a very rude awakening indeed. It can be a very rude awakening. And yet these structures, or these ways of operating, can also be so beautiful, so refined. Lovely to have a group of people who are willing to open themselves to the admonishment of others, Who will respect others, the questions of others, however young or junior they are within a group, respect the opinions of others. Also be, you know, to see a Buddhist community operating in a good way is a extremely beautiful thing. So it's such a shame that it's always the scandals that make the headlines or things that go wrong that draw people's attention, rather than the things that go so well. A particular branch of Thai forest monasticism has actually an extremely clean reputation that we can be very proud of. There haven't yet been any scandals, particularly amongst the Western Sangha, Western group of monks. So this is what some people can see the rules as rather strict, particularly in terms of relation between the sexes, and yet this is what we can win, is this kind of reputation, this kind of the sense of this is something that's safe and tried and tested and clear. Has clear boundaries, and we can learn to love and respect those boundaries and to see how they keep us safe. So I'll offer that one for your reflection.